Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks very much for being with us tonight. And tonight we're going to remember our friend and colleague, Bruno Snyders, one of the top sports writers and personalities in Rochester media history. Bruno passed away last Wednesday at the age of 78. And Bruno was a part of our show, the producer and co-host in 2007 and 2008. It was one of the big reasons why the show has continued to this day after our show's founder, Charlie Schiano, retired. Charlie will be with us tonight to give us his memories of Bruno, who covered the Lancers for 11 years for the Democratic Chronicle and the Times Union. And we'll also hear from Michael Lewis, who was a colleague of Bruno's, and Bruno was really Michael's mentor when he came into the paper in the mid-70s. And tonight we'll also reveal the second member of the Rochester Lancers Wall of Fame class of 2014. We'll have Dick Howard to talk about that, and also we'll have a special guest on in just a moment as we mention who this second inductee is. But let's bring in Joe Sirianni now. And obviously, Joe, I was stunned when I saw the news in the paper about Bruno. I had no idea that he was ill, and he's going to be missed.
Actually, Andrew, when I got your text message, and I found out that you were the first guy that informed me that Bruno had passed away, I was shocked. I mean, I was talking with Anna, and I said, oh, my God. She said, what happened? What happened? And I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, when you really talk about people that you meet in your life, and you either like them or you hate them, or it's in between. In the beginning, in the Lancer days, when Bruno was writing for the DNC, for the Times Union, he was writing. I didn't really like him too much because he was writing all the negative or all the things that he was noted for. It, like they say, that they call a spade a spade. And, you know, with the Lancer at that time, if the water went off or anything would happen, he would be the first one to put it in the newspaper. And consequently, you know, we became kind of, you know, I didn't like him too much, okay? But then as time went by, I really got to know Bruno, and I understood that he was doing his job, much like we're doing this job right now, right here. We don't get paid, but we do it because we have a passion. He had a passion for it. He was a journalist. He was everything that you can think of, and he had a straight arrow mind. Okay, that his job was to report whatever he thought was decent and never to harm anybody, but to tell the truth, and that's what he did. And as I said, as I got to know him throughout the years, and then once he became part of our show, we became close friends, more so than I ever thought it could be. And I, you know, if he's in heaven someplace,
and he can hear
what I'm saying right now, I want to thank him because he brought a new approach to our show. He was very, very organized. We went over his house. I've been over his house several times, and I want to give my condolence to his family and to Cookie, the woman that been with him for many, many years, and the woman that tended to his needs and his companion for many years. And I can only say that life is just what it is. We don't know when the Lord will call us, but in the meantime, the travel of life, you meet some people that become good friends. And then, you know, you leave the rest of that are just acquaintance. And Bruno, to me, was a friend. So I will miss him as much as everybody going to miss him as well. And I just want to extend my condolence to his family and his loved ones.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, I got to know Bruno through the show. I came on this show the same time as Bruno did after Charlie retired. And he is an ultimate professional. He was a perfectionist. Everything Bruno did, he did to the letter. I mean, that's the way he lived his life, and that's the way he was conducting himself in business. And his, like I said, his passion was journalism. He was an old school journalist. You know, he raked the muck and got all the stories out. He not only wrote the stories, but he also did the commentaries, and that's where people would get upset with him sometimes. But, you know, he was a straight shooter. And the thing with Bruno also we should mention is that he knew soccer because he was a referee for many years. So he knew this sport, and also because he is a native of Latvia. We'd often talked with him. We often mentioned the Latvian national team when we had him on the show because he was very proud of his Latvian heritage. Of course, at the time when he was born, it was still part of the Soviet Union.
Well, so, he immigrated over here. Bruno, yes, he immigrated. Did. He was, you know, he was born in Latvia.
That's right. So he's very proud of his heritage, and he knew soccer very well. He followed soccer going back to his
college.
So he knew this sport very well. So anything he said, he had something to back it up with. It wasn't like other reporters maybe back in that time that really didn't understand the sport. He really understood it. Like him and Alex Loy they were bred it with soccer.
I disagree with Bruno on the approach with referees. You know, many times we talked about the refereeing, and he said that the one man should not be able to control 22 people.
Well, hold that thought, Joe, because we're going to play that commentary that he did on our show in 2007 where he talked about just that. It was fitting to let people hear Bruno's commentary on the loose like he did it back in the day. But like I said, we also want to give his condolences, like I said, to his sons, Kurt, Eric, and Mark, his stepson, Tom. Grandchildren, four grandchildren, two great-grandchildren. You mentioned Cookie, Lorraine Gifford, his companion, very classy lady. Bruno was a member of the Frontier Field Walk of Fame. He was inducted in 2002. He won the Press Radio Club's Charlie Wagner Award for Sports Writing Excellence in 1978. Was in the paper for 11 years, also worked at another local radio station that used to be called WVOR, did a segment called The Sports Beat, and he also started Alexander Communications in the 1980s. And Bruno was also an animal lover. He loved his dogs and cats, and he has asked for donations, his family asked for donations to Lollipop Farm, and we wholeheartedly encourage that, the Humane Society. All five of our cats came from there, so it's a worthwhile cause. So if you want to remember Bruno, make a donation to Lollipop Farm, lollipop.org, and give it in Bruno's name.
Well, one of the things that I remember being in his basement, it was full adorned of all the things that you talked about, all the books. He did a lot of research. He had a lot of things that if he talked about something, he backed it up with facts. So I was privileged to see his collection. I was privileged to see some of the things that he did. And I feel so honored that Bruno was my friend.
Well, we'll talk more about Bruno later on in the show with Charlie Schiano and Michael Lewis. Right now, we're going to announce the second inductee into the Rochester Lancers Wall of Fame class of 2014. As we mentioned last week, the first inductee is Ellie Durante, an original member of the North American Soccer League. Our second inductee is also an original member of the North American Soccer League, a native of Liverpool, England, played for a number of teams, including the Philadelphia Spartans, the Cleveland Stokers, the Dallas Tornado. But he spent 4 years here in Rochester from 1970 to 1973, part of the NASL champion 1970 team, was a two-time first-team NASL All-Star in 70 and 71, and also went on to coach three different teams in the NASL, the LA Aztecs, the San Jose Earthquakes, and the Dallas Tornado. Speaking of the late Peter Short, and we're very honored to induct Peter Short, a rugged defender who you didn't give any quarter and certainly didn't ask for any. And Joe, a great, great player in the early days of the Lancers.
When you talk about defending, Peter Short was the master of defense. He was a central defender, and he gave no inches. If you talk with the like of Charlie Mitchell and Don Laca, and the people that play with him, they know exactly how Peter played the game. I was privileged to know him on the field. I was privileged to know him and in his private life with his then wife Ginny. Her name was Ginny. And let me tell you, Peter was an English descent. He loved the game of soccer. He played the game of soccer the way is the way it is played, you know, was played then. Right now, he never put his arm around the center forward. He never embraced anybody. He never did anything. He just defended with body contact that was legal. Now, every time that you see a game right now, it's just like they're going steady, that they hug one another.
Yeah.
So that was not the game that Peter played. It was a game played with courage, guts, knowledge, and intensity. Okay, and that's Peter Short.
And Peter, we mentioned that Peter is no longer with us, and it's actually been a very long time that Peter has been gone. Peter met a very tragic end in 1984, in February of 84. Peter was at his company, cloth cutting business he owned in Los Angeles, and Peter was a victim of a robbery attempt for three youth teenage thugs, and he was shot and killed in that incident. And the gentleman who did that is still behind bars, thank goodness, and he should be there for the rest of his life. But so he's been gone a long time, but we're going to honor him and remember him on December 27th at the Lancers Wall of Fame induction ceremony, which will take place at 1 p.m. before the Lancers take on the Baltimore Blast at the Blue Cross Arena. And I believe we have one of our special guests on the line right now with us. He was a member of the Lancers himself, a member of the Wall of Fame, and knew Peter well. Played with him, I believe, in Philadelphia and in the NPSL, the first of the pro leagues in the United States, talking about Don Lalka. And Don's appearance on our show tonight is brought to you by the Lancers. Again, the Lancers will open their home season November 22nd against the Ontario California Fury at 7. And call us 872-KICK, go to rlancers.com to get your tickets. And Don, thank you for joining us. I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, it's great to be with you guys.
Well, Don, you knew Peter Short very well. Tell us your memories of Peter.
I will tell you something. All of you people, when everything is mentioned, Peter Short's career here starts with Philadelphia Spartans, then goes on. I go back with Peter Short to Toronto. When he first came over from Liverpool, before the Pro League started in 67, and that's when Lancer started in the other league. Peter Short and Roy Turner played for Toronto, Italia, with Carlos Medetieri and George Piotti. That was in 1966, there was no pro leagues in the United States yet. They had like semi-pro leagues, and he went back to that. And then Peter and I played together before the Spartans with Newark Siege, which was in the American Soccer League, because of Walt and Gene Chizhevich, who were Ukrainians. And what they did was that league was around the New York City area, and the leagues in Canada played during the summer, and in the fall, a lot of guys would just fly in for the game and fly back out. You know, so Peter Short, Roy Turner used to fly in. I did the same thing. We used to fly in and play for Siege. And then when Walt Chizhevich became the personnel director for Philadelphia Spartans, he took Peter Short there. So Peter has a career before the Spartans yet.
How about that? Joe,
go ahead. Continued with the how do you know what happened after that, Don?
Well, what happened was that I'll tell you a cute little story, because the guys used to fly in Toronto. The league played in the summer. There was a semi-pro league and a little bit of a kind of a pro league in the American Soccer League played around New York. A lot of guys in the fall used to get picked up by the various ethnic teams. There's remember Inter Juliana, guys played for them. There was the Ukrainians. There was a bunch of other teams. You got on a plane Sunday morning in Toronto at the airport, and there were like 20 guys with these little bags, you know, with their soccer shoes in there, you know, and everybody's playing for different teams because it was catch-as-catch-can, you know. And as a matter of fact, what happened one time, we were playing for Siege, New York Siege, and as a matter of fact, that was in the American Soccer League that had to be, I'm saying, year before Lancers, so it would be 1966. Piotti, Medetieri were playing for Boston at the time. Guys are floating around all over. And the word got out that these guys from Canada were flying in, and they weren't paying any taxes on the money they were making in the in the States. So they periodically would, like, clamp down on it. And we had a game on a Sunday, and Peter Short was flying in from Toronto, and they stopped him at the airport, so they wouldn't let him go. And all of a sudden, Chizhevich calls me. I was in Rochester at the time. Calls me and says, listen, go across the border, pick Peter Short up and Roy Turner, get him in the car, and bring him over. I did that. You know, it was a Saturday. We pulled in, you know, and played the game. Peter Short never left the United States. So technically, I smuggled him into the United States.
Okay, I didn't hear any of that. Nobody else heard any of that. I think the statute of limitations is probably done, but and Peter, of course, is no longer with us. But, boy, that'll never happen ever again, that's for sure.
You know, Don, the things that were done in the past and the reason why you guys play soccer, it was not really because of the money. It was because, you know, the passion that you had for the game.
That's exactly what it was, Joe. It was obviously it wasn't for the money. I mean, we were flying plane in Toronto, like I said, in the summer. As a matter of fact, the old National League and I think it was the Eastern Pro League, a lot of those players, when the NASL, the North America, the Pro League started in the United States, a ton of those players all wound up playing in the leagues there. But initially, everybody was there because they loved the game. It was a passion. You played for the love of it. You know what? Obviously you weren't making a hell of a lot of money, and Peter, he was amazing. He was a central defender, and I was listening to you a little earlier, Joe. You were right on. Peter Short didn't give a quarter. He went up in the air and he'd take three guys out. Nothing. He wasn't dirty. He was just strong. He was a big guy, 6'2", you know, and he had good strength. And boy, he would just control the area in a physical sense. You know, there's some players like that that do it technically.
Much like you.
Peter Short was a pure physical player, but he got the job done.
You did the same, Don. My compliment to you.
Well, you know, a little bit. Although I kind of liked more of the Jogo Bonito Brazilian style, you know, when Mauro and I played that combination. You know, the English style was obviously very hard, you know.
Well, it was a great mix of players back then from all over the world. That's one of the reasons why the Lancers were so successful in those early years. But, Don, we have to go, but hopefully you'll be able to be at the Wall of Fame ceremony on the 27th. Of course, you were inducted last year, and we'd love to have all of the former inductees there to honor the new inductees, two of which are our friends Ellie Durante and Peter Short. So, Don, thank you for spending some time with us tonight.
Okay. Hang in there, guys. Keep doing the good job you're doing.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Don. Thank you very much.
It's Don Lauka here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, Lancers Wall of Famer. We'll be back with another Lancers Wall of Famer, Dick Howard, and we'll have his memories of Peter Short, his teammate from 1970. We'll have some international news as well next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Rochester Rhinos players and staff would like to thank all their fans for supporting them during the 2014 season at Salem Stadium and for the last 19 years. Season ticket packages for the Rochester Rhinos 20th anniversary season in 2015 are now on sale. All full season ticket packages include one ticket to all 14 regular season home games and one ticket to the Rochester Rhinos Legends soccer game at Salem Stadium. Purchase your tickets by calling 454-KICK or go to rhinosoccer.com. The Rhinos will be back for another exciting year of soccer this coming spring.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 15 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Kusha Kush, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Paul Plaza is the place to start. Locally owned with over 25 years in business, Claridge Custom Designs and Builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClaridgeDesignCenter.com.
The Rochester Lancers are back for another season of exciting indoor soccer this fall in the brand new Major Arena Soccer League. The Lancers open the 2014 home campaign at the Blue Cross Arena Saturday, November 22nd, 7 p.m. against the Ontario California Fury. Get your 2014 Lancers season tickets by visiting ourlancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
And back here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, Andrew Battisti and Joe Redcard Sirianni. You remember two former members of the Lancer family tonight, the late Bruno Snyders, who passed away last week at the age of 78, and Peter Short, who is the second inductee into the Rochester Lancers Wall of Fame, Peter passing away in 1984. And joining us now is Mr. Zero, Dick Howard, and he's, of course, a teammate of Peter Short's for the 1970 NASL Championship team, and not only that, both natives of Liverpool. And tonight's segment with Dick Howard brought to you by our newest sponsor, the Van Bortle Auto Group, Van Bortle Subaru in Victor, Van Bortle Chevrolet in Macedon, and Van Bortle Ford in East Rochester. Go to VanBortleCars.com to get more information on Van Bortle, and again, a Rochester native, Kitty Van Bortle, and big supporter of hers here on our show. And Dick, to tell you, it's a lot of things with Peter Short that Don was mentioning about how tough he was, but no, you and him have a special bond because you both come from Merseyside, so I'm sure when you guys were playing together, it was, you guys were probably singing Beatles songs or something.
Yeah, I think every goalkeeper wanted to have a Peter Short in front of him because he was the ultimate defender. You know, he was totally dominant in the air and a fierce tackler, and with Phil Davis, you know, the two of them certainly combined so well together. But Peter was a fine professional, tragically lost too early in his life, but certainly a player that I appreciated very much, and one that, as I say, as a teammate, he was certainly one that you wanted to have in, especially when we had hard-fought encounters against some of our opponents. Peter Short always stepped up to the plate. He was a fine professional and, as I say, a good buddy. And also a Scouser, as you say, from Liverpool.
Can I ask you, was he a Liverpool supporter or an Everton supporter?
I think Liverpool was Peter's first love. You know, he knew that I was an Evertonian, and I think, if truth be told, he wore a red shirt underneath his jersey, his Lancer jersey.
Well, you know, Dick, what I remember Peter Short was similar to what you remember. You know, that he was strong, and he was. And he took no prisoners. I mean, I just
That's a good word to use, Joe.
Definitely. And you know, Phil Davis was how would I say, on a scale of 1 to 10, Peter was a 10. Phil Davis was when he first started playing maybe a 7, and Peter made him to be an 8. You know, 8 or 9, because he taught him. You know, he taught him a lot of things, because Peter was the ultimate defender, in my opinion. Much like the one that followed the Yugoslavian guy with
Vazlic and Mijatovic.
Vazlic and Mijatovic, yeah, they were the same kind of player, especially Mijatovic. I have great memories of Peter, you know, on the field and off the field. I have memories of him when we went to Guatemala, you know, and he loved to have a few beers and and you know he really enjoyed life at that time. I mean, we had a great time.
Yeah. Dick, tell us about Peter off the field. I mean, I'm sure you knew him from the 1970 team, which was a tremendous. It was like a family, like Joe always says. But tell us what you, some things that people might like to know about Peter off the field.
Well, it was great to socialize with and like to have a few beers, as Joe said, and enjoy himself. And we had some great parties with regards to the Lancer family, so to speak, at a residence where Bobby DeLuca, Charlie Mitchell, and myself lived in the east end of the city. We had some great parties there, and Peter Shaw was always a lively one. Dave Thompson was the musician. He was the one that knew all the Beatles songs.
Him and Charlie.
It was just a great family, Joe, wasn't it?
Well, unbelievable. I mean, not only the private parties that you guys had, where you lived, but also all the parties that we would have at Charlie Shano, Pedinolfo, and the doctor of now escapes my mind, houses at. You know, we used to have parties all the time after the game, prior to the games and all that kind of
prior thing. To the games?
No, prior to the game we used to have the cookout, what do they call that? Charlie used to bring the whole thing. And
the pregame meal.
The pregame meal, yeah.
The pregame meal,
yeah. Yeah, we used to have all these things. Unbelievable. You know, it just, the history, I don't know if they do it anymore. I think that some clubs...
I don't think so, Joe. I think that if you were to talk to any of the Lancer players at the time, they would talk about, you know, the camaraderie on and off the field. And it certainly was very evident with players from all over the world playing together as a unit, you know, and from Carlos Topolino, you know, Metadieri, Biot, all, you know, the players that played over the years with the Lancers came from various ethnic backgrounds, didn't they?
Yeah, definitely. I remember that every time we travel with the bus with the Brazilian guys, that they, you know, the Mauro Felipe and the Cagnotto and Carlos, they used to say, they used to sing their song, Mamma Yo Quiero, you know, and they were, and then we used to have
them. You're bringing back memories now, Joe. That's good. Yeah. All the musicians.
Time. We used to have sandwiches and sodas and everything on the bus. Those were great days. I mean, my God, I wish I could relive them again.
Well, we are reliving them. We're talking about them.
Yeah, we're just talking about
them. And we want to make sure people know about this so they can understand what it was like, you know, 40, 45 years ago when, you know, soccer was starting in this country. And it was a family. Everybody needed to bond together because, you know, these people, like I said, players are all over the world were coming in. Some didn't speak the language. And, Joe, you were the godfather. You were the one in taking care of everybody.
I don't know.
Joe,
I don't know
to everybody. He was the ultimate godfather, as you say,
I remember we were talking to Dan Luck a little while ago, and he was mentioning how Peter played in with Toronto, Italia, and then he played with Ukrainian Sich, and then in those days, and I'm sure you remember because you were part of it. I mean, you were a Canadian, so to speak, and the National League at that time was very, very strong. They had great players from England there, you know. And tell us a little bit about that, Dick.
A lot of ethnic teams were playing in the National Soccer League in Canada, of course, and the American League teams in Philadelphia, New York, the Inter team, and the teams in the Boston area always had a Portuguese sort of background. And a lot of players would play in that league and also play in the National Soccer League in Canada, which had the Ukrainian team, the Croatian, Serbian, Italian, Greek. It was very much an ethnic basis for the teams at that time. And as you rightly mentioned, some tremendous players would come over from Europe to spend their summers
playing in these leagues in both the States and in Canada.
Wow. Those were the days, I tell you.
And the reporter, of course, when you have the late Bruno Snyder and Alex Loy, we had also quality people reporting on the games.
Oh, of course, yep. And they knew what they were talking about, which is what was important. But, Dick, we're out of time, unfortunately. We'll have to skip the international news for this week, but I think we had good reason to. But hopefully we'll be able to come up
for the win for Chelsea, though, Andrew.
Yeah, then Juventus got their big win, too. So,
and
in
congratulations
to
Joe for Juve in that great game against, quite a tempestuous game against Roma, but La Vecchia Signora came through, and a great win for them. Congratulations.
Good thing. Thank you very much.
Well, Dick, hopefully you'll be able to come up for the Wall of Fame ceremony. It's December 27th in the afternoon, so to honor
I'd love to see you all again, guys. Yeah, if I get all the info, hopefully I'll be able to work on that.
Great. This time we're going to have a few beers, I hope.
Well, after the game, we can have a few beers. The game's in the afternoon, so it worked out perfect. Well, thank you again, Dick. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Ciao. Have any.
Ciao. Thank you, Dick.
Dick Howard here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass live from Toronto. When we come back, we'll have our special guest, the former owner of the NASL Rochester Lancers and the founder of this show, Charlie Schiano. As you remember, the newest Lancers Wall of Fame inductee, Peter Short, and our friend Bruno Snyders here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. I get high with a little help from my friend. Gonna try with a little help from my friend.
The Voice of Liberty. WYSL. You're listening to WYSL1040.com, 92.1 FM, and 1040 AM WYSL Avon Rochester.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Faber Homes is now building in 6 locations. Visit the Faber Homes website at FaberHomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit FaberHomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great homes, great price.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's The Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
Caring for your teeth is a key factor in promoting good health. Joe and Andrew highly recommend Dr. David Olivo and his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue for all your dental needs. Dr. Olivo and his experienced staff provide a wide array of dental services and procedures in a comfortable and caring atmosphere. New patients are always welcome. Visit Dr. Olivo's interactive website at davidolivodmd.com or call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo. Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Hi, this is Kitty Van Bortel. When the time comes for you to buy a used car or truck, I really hope that you'll come to see me. The reason is very simple. You can trust me. You can depend on the fact that I will never sell you a vehicle that has trouble. If one does get past me, you let me know and I'll make it right. I don't care how long you've owned it. So please, don't worry. Just come to my place. I truly take the fear out of buying a used car.
VanBortelCars.com.
The Rochester Lancers are back for another season of exciting indoor soccer this fall in the brand new Major Arena Soccer League. The Lancers open the 2014 home campaign at the Blue Cross Arena Saturday, November 22nd, 7 p.m. against the Ontario California Fury. Get your 2014 Lancers season tickets by visiting ourlancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here with Joe Redcard Sirianni, our host. And don't forget, with these darkening skies out here in Rochester,
92.1 is the station to listen to because we have you know, as it gets dark at 10:40, it's a little bit on the weak side. So remember, 92.1, that's tune us in on the FM station. That's the best way you can hear the whole show clear, and or you can do it on your mobile device and whatever
else. Or you can go to our website at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, and you can listen right through there as well. Today we're remembering the late Peter Short, who was inducted into the Lancers Wall of Fame in December 27th, and our good friend and colleague Bruno Snyders, who passed away last week. And joining us, gentlemen who knew both those men very well, post-emeritus of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass and the founder of the Rochester Lancers NASL team, actually the ASL team, really, Charlie Schiano. And Charlie's appearance brought to you by Top Notch Monogramming, Northfield Common in Pittsburgh. Call 248-2650 or go to topnotchmonogramming.com. U.S. men and women national teams will be in action this week and next week, so get your U.S. soccer gear to support our national teams at Top Notch Monogramming. Of course, the winter sports season right around the corner as well. Go to see Michelle and Tony at Top Notch and tell them you heard about their store on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Charlie, thanks for coming on tonight. Appreciate it.
Well, Andy, I wanted to because both of those gentlemen were very close to me, and I mourn their loss. And I know that, you know, with Bruno, it's Bruno Snyders is with us really from about 1969 on. And I know the first year of the North American Soccer League, he even flew to, Joe remembers this, flew to Washington with us for the final game. He was with us for that whole weekend, and Bruno was really kind of an integral part of the team, although at times he could be a bit of an adversary. But he was a good guy, and I always remember Bruno. Especially what impressed me was that we had the reunion of the Lancers a few years ago. Bruno was so helpful and instrumental in helping put that together, and I'll never forget his generosity and his insights and his great thoughts. Bruno was a good guy, and one of the things you guys don't know, the public doesn't know, is that Bruno used to be a basketball referee, and he'd always, and I played a lot of celebrity games with the press radio, and we'd bring Bruno along because it was controversial. He'd always call four or five fouls on me, and I very seldom foul.
Well, sure,
nobody
Charlie,
believes that,
sure.
Of course.
All the centers, the big guys, always say that.
Bruno would call every ticky-tacky elbow I threw. I mean, every one I threw, he'd catch me. He's looking for me. You know, and I give him that look. He said, "I caught you again, Charlie." But, I mean, with Bruno, it's so legendary. I mean, you guys must remember the great story when I was probably one of the few people that knew outside of the Cosmos organization that they were chasing Pelé, because I learned of that when we were in Italy training, spring training. What was that, 74, Joe?
74, yes.
74, we're in Italy, and I had dinner with Pelé and the Clive Toy, and they swore me to secrecy. They wouldn't say anything, and when they were about to announce it, I knew it, so I thought I'd sneak it out to Bruno, you know. So I called Bruno surreptitiously and said, "Bruno, you won't believe this. They're going to sign, the Cosmos are going to sign Pelé at Club 21 tomorrow." So he writes an editorial saying, "Hell will freeze over before the Cosmos sign Pelé." And the same day, that was in the morning DNC, that same day, the Cosmos signed Pelé at Club 21. I always tease him about that. I always said, "Bruno, I gave you an exclusive. Nobody else had it. I gave it. I broke my word. I gave it to you because you're a local soccer guy, and you." But that's a great Bruno story. And he was, you know, to this day, I still tease him about it. And when Clive Toy wrote his book, he even mentioned that. He didn't mention Bruno by name, but he did. That's kind of great. But the other,
Charlie, here's the quote. Short.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's in Michael Lewis wrote a column today about Bruno on BigAppleSoccer.com. We'll have Michael on in just a bit. Here's the quote from Bruno. Pelé wasn't going to the United States to play any more than Moshe Dayan would join the Egyptian Air Force. And Moshe Dayan was an Israeli politician.
No, a general. He was a general.
General, that's
before
right.
Before he
Thank
became
you.
The prime minister, he was a general. A one-eyed general. Great, great Jewish general.
But the thing with Bruno, I mentioned earlier, he knew soccer. He knew the sport because of his background, a Latvian background.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was always. And he also came with the Lancers to the 1977 playoff game in Toronto, one of the most famous matches ever played.
Oh,
so he was there on site to see that.
He was there with
Michael.
Okay, all right. No. That was part of the article they wrote, yeah. Because the headline was "A Hell of a Freeze Over for the Cosmos Side Palais."
That was the Palais one, right. But yeah, you mentioned about Peter Short. And tell us about how you got to sign Peter Short for the Lancers.
Well, I tell you, when we were joining the North American Soccer League, I got a call from Peter. Peter called me. He had been in Dallas, was not getting along with some of the British players down there, and suggested if he could come and try out for the Lancers. Of course, I knew of Peter Short. Alex Loy had told me about him, and what Don Lalka had told me about Peter, and he was a professional, you know, and played in England. And so I said, Peter, we'd be glad to have you. Come out and try out. And sure enough, that's how we got him. Peter called me. I can't take
that credit
for that. He called me.
Charlie, you're an honest man.
Oh, that's how it happened, Peter. But the great story about Peter is when we, North American Soccer League, and I guess that was the push factor for this one. We wanted to change. We're tired of these tie games. So it was my idea. I made the motion that we play 15-minute quarters or periods until somebody scored a goal. That's how we got the longest game in the history of soccer here in Rochester. And when I announced that to the team, Peter came up to me and says, Charlie, we're going to play all night. I said, Peter, go on. Someone's going to score. You know? And when we were in the sixth or seventh overtime period, I can't remember which one, I looked down the field, and Peter is eyeing me. I'm in the press box. Peter was giving me that eye, nodding his head, saying, I told you about this. I told you about this. And he always teased me about that. He said, Charlie, I said, we're going to change the rule next year. Don't worry about Peter. We tried it out this year. It certainly put Rochester on the map, though. Two longest games in the history of soccer were in Rochester. So Peter was a very good friend and a great Lancer. He really was very proud of the team and very always wanted to do well and perform well. And a very professional player, I got to say that, really a professional player. And
well,
we
Charlie,
became
friends
when he went and coached a assistant coach in L.A. And what a tragic death he had. It just was sad.
Very sad, and we're very proud that we're going to be honoring Peter this year in the Lancers Wall of Fame. A guy who's, again, because he's not with us, he may be one of the forgotten players on that 70 team, but boy, I've seen some tapes, and I watched him play one game in 1973 when I was still knee-high to whatever, but he played 11 seasons in the North American Soccer League,
a long
career, and again, coached three teams. So
yeah, he was a solid professional. And I always, you could always rely on Peter. He was always there, and is very loyal. And he was proud to be a Lancer. And I know that we had many moments together, Peter and I, and that we share a lot of confidences. And he would tell me if how things were going and what things were happening. I could always rely on Peter's judgment. He was very competent. I mean, there was a time in Atlanta. You remember that where he was knocked unconscious. We thought he had a fracture of the skull, and that's the time when. When they were trying to arrest all our African players, Joe, you remember that? It was Peter was in the hospital. We were trying to get out of the stadium.
The stadium.
It was called, what was it? Same name of the plantation in Gone with the Wind. And we lucky to get out of there that night, Joe. As you recall, the troopers were going to arrest all of us until I threatened to sue them.
I hope Michael puts that in his book.
I should have stole your money when you gave me the.
I gave you my wallet. Told us to make.
Yeah, you gave me your wallet. I should have took the money. So,
well, Charlie, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and sharing your memories of Bruno and Peter Short. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the Wall of Fame ceremony on December 27th.
We'll
if not sooner
for
than
Peter.
That, of
Are
course.
You kidding? I'll definitely be there for Peter. And this is a great idea, you guys, honoring Peter and. And Bruno. Bruno is a good guy, and I'm really going to miss him. I really shall.
Mark Dunn, December 27th.
All right. Good job, you two. Joe, be
thank
well.
You very much,
Get better,
Charlie.
Joe. Andy, thank you very much for calling me.
Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate
Bye
it.
Now, guys.
Charlie Schiano here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we will hear from Bruno Snyder in his own words in that famous commentary about referees. And then we'll go to New York and speak with Michael Lewis, who worked with Bruno for many years at the DNC and the Times Union. And we'll talk with Michael about his memories of Bruno Snyder's next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
top-notch monogramming is...
Soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is...
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA Wear.
Topnotchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The Western New York Flash would like to thank all their fans in Rochester and the surrounding area for their support during this past season in the NWSL. Season tickets for the 2015 Flash season are now on sale for a limited time at discounted pricing, which ends October 31st. Season tickets are available in every price level, starting as low as $100. To purchase your season tickets, visit the Flash website at www.wnyflash.com. The Western New York Flash. Experience the best.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
These days, we're pinching pennies everywhere we can. On groceries, utilities, even insurance. But get into one car accident and your rates could rise as much as 40% just because of it. Suddenly, your affordable insurance isn't. Unless you have Allstate Accident Forgiveness, then the accident won't make your rates go up at all. It's part of Your Choice Auto, only from Allstate. Are you in good hands?
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo first at 244-2130. Feature is optional and subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
The Rochester Lancers are back for another season of exciting indoor soccer this fall in the brand new Major Arena Soccer League. The Lancers open the 2014 home campaign at the Blue Cross Arena Saturday, November 22nd, 7 p.m. against the Ontario California Fury. Get your 2014 Lancers season tickets by visiting ourlancers.com or by calling 872-KICK. Come support your Rochester Lancers all season at the Blue Cross Arena.
Soccer is a kick in the grass on WISL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Good morning, yesterday. You wake up and time has slipped away.
That's an appropriate tune from Paul Anka. Of course, the Kodak theme song and remembering Bruno Snyder's here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. And what better way to honor Bruno is to hear in his own words the words and the thoughts of Bruno. And he never
knew who he was.
And never pulled any punches. This is from June 11th, 2007 from our show. Bruno talking about refereeing. And again, he was a referee, so he had the right to say what he says here about referees.
And he had knowledge.
That's right. Let's hear from Bruno himself.
Hello, everybody. This is Bruno Snyder's On the Loose again. As promised last week when I was whining about soccer's stupid practice of tie games without closure, here's one more thing that bugs me. Game officials, or I should say lack of them. I'm still irritated by FIFA's unfortunate clinging to the outdated tradition of just one referee to control 22 players on a field big enough to wage World War III. Oh yes, how can I forget? There are two linesmen with all the authority of a team mascot. It's a silly tradition that goes back to the game's founding fathers, who selected the one healthy non-soccer playing male in the village, handed him a whistle and the town's only pocket watch, and sent him out to fend for himself. If he survived, there would be schnapps and band-aids in the bistro afterwards. To be fair, I must add that Pro Soccer recently added a fourth official for such important tasks as facing the sidelines and given the authority to keep extra time for injuries and such. The team mascot is probably overqualified for that job. If soccer intends to challenge for the American fan, the sport must act like it. Make the game exciting and unimpeachable. By contrast, pro football has 7 officials, all with whistles, penalty flags, and equal authority. That's roughly 1 official per 3 players. And they still miss calls, which brings us to television replays for added integrity. But let's discuss that another time. The same goes for basketball, 3 for 10 players, and hockey has gone to 4 officials for the equally reasonable 1 for 3 ratio, all with TV backups in tough situations. Soccer, unfortunately, is still living in that village with 1 healthy male who now has his own pocket watch. I'm Bruno Snyder's On the Loose.
And I agree 100% with everything Bruno said in that commentary. And it's interesting now, of course, we do have goal line technology, which was introduced at the World Cup. But let's bring in our good friend Michael Lewis now from New York to talk more about Bruno. And tonight's segment with Michael is brought to you by Allstate Insurance and agent Edsel Scolo. His new office is located at 919 South Winton Road, Suite 204. Call him at 244-2130 for all your insurance needs. And Michael, you knew Bruno very well from your days with the paper. I mean, you were a raw rookie reporter coming in the mid-70s, and Bruno was an established guy at the DNC and Times Union. So thanks for coming on the show, and tell us what some memories of Bruno.
You're welcome. By the way, that segment, and I forgot about Bruno being a game official because this rookie way back in probably 1974 was covering a high school soccer game, and I thought the official looked familiar because I had seen Bruno at the office. He was working for the rival Times Union at the time, and I couldn't believe that he's doing a game, and I couldn't tell you what game it is, but, man, you jogged a memory I hadn't had in years, so thank you for that. Yeah, Bruno, and if you don't mind me saying this, I wrote a piece about Bruno on BigAppleSoccer.com, Remembering Bruno Snyder's. I posted it earlier today, and I think
beautiful article, Mike.
Excuse me?
Beautiful article.
Oh, thank you. And I think the best way to describe Bruno was he was a character who had character. And, you know, we could take thousands of words to describe what I meant, but, you know, he was strong-fasted in his opinions, wouldn't change whatsoever. But did it with his style, his own style. And it's funny, I learned a lot about soccer from him. And, you know, you have to put it into proper context. When he was covering soccer, that wasn't necessarily the most fashionable sport to cover way back in the late 60s. I think he started covering in 1969. And, you know, yes, he held the Lancers owners and team and players and coaches to the fire many a time. But I really think he did it because he loved the game, not necessarily because he wanted to cause controversy all the time, although he was definitely not afraid of doing that. And you take it from someone who didn't know very much about the beautiful game at the time, and we all know back in the Stone Ages back then where soccer wasn't on TV, there was no internet, no VCRs, DVDs, or anything like that. You know, you just had to pick it up where you can, and I was like a sponge, and you know, I learned so much again from a rival. There's nothing wrong about learning from the so-called enemy, but then he became a member of the Democrat and Chronicle, I think, in 1976, and started writing columns there, and you know, and continued to learn, and be I hope he considered me a friend because I considered him a friend more than just a colleague. So I'm really sad, very saddened to hear his passing. My condolences and deepest sympathies to his family and friends.
Yes, sir. And Michael, we're talking about the trip you took to Toronto with him for the quarterfinal match in 77, that memorable game against the Metro Croatia where we won with 9 men. And you rode with him, and you talked about that in your article.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because, you know, we talked a lot about soccer going up and coming back. The funny thing about it is we were probably flying on a cloud returning home because whoever thought the Lancers would be going up against the Cosmos in the semifinals. And we're not just talking about the Cosmos. We're talking about Pelé, Beckenbauer, Canalia, and Carlos Alberto when they were all on the team. And also after just an incredible, improbable victory, which even 37 years later, I still consider one of the greatest soccer games I've ever seen. And for something to last that long is pretty incredible. And I won't go into the details too much. There are so many political overtones about it as well. But I just think we were just like shaking our heads. We just could not believe it on the way home. Again, I can't recall the exact conversation. It is a few decades ago, but it was a lot of fun. And it's funny because we took Route 104 home instead of the thruway, and I remember getting peaches. That I remember, you know, fresh peaches to bring home. But I think, you know, it's funny. Last week, on the same day that Bruno passed away, I was at the football game here on Long Island where the player died in the game. I was helping out a colleague of mine at a sports editor at a weekly paper here on Long Island, and I was covering the game. And it's just a reminder, this teenager's untimely passing, Bruno's passing. Cherish the people we have around us, no matter what their age is, because you never know how long they're going to be around or we're going to be around. I'm sorry to get so sentimental and philosophical on your show, but definitely a reminder. But it's funny, I miss Bruno, even, you know, after all these years, and I guess we're all going to miss him now.
I think, Mike, one of the things to elaborate a little bit on your remarks is that life is unpredictable. It just, we need to enjoy the moment because yesterday it's gone, and tomorrow we have no control over. So we just hope that we're going to be able to wake up and put our feet on the ground and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And I find one thing that in remembering Bruno and remembering Peter Short and thinking about my present friends, you included, the people that I have had the good fortune to meet and associate with, I'm thankful for those days that I spent as a Lancer, but not only as a Lancer, as a human being, because we have met, we have become friends, and we are where we are right now. I just I want to thank you very much for being our friend and being part of our show, wow. Soccer Kick on the Grass, and I know, and I don't know what else I can say to make sense.
Well, you're welcome. And as I said about my experience with the Lancers, I wouldn't have traded it for the world, for anything in the world. I had a lot of fun doing it. Yeah, there was a roller coaster ride for everyone involved, but I have some great memories from it, and I think we all do. I just hope people can enjoy the moment. You're right. It's in this society where we're rushing and doing this and doing that and getting things done in record time, sometimes we don't get a chance, as they say, to smell the roses. And a reminder that try to enjoy life once in a while. Easier said than done, because I have my moments too.
Yep. Well, Michael, before I let you go, I remind everybody that Michael is writing a book about the Lancers, and I'm sure that Bruno will be mentioned in that book, and Peter Short, and Charlie mentioned a story about the night when Peter Short was knocked unconscious in Atlanta during the show now, and he talked about how the Lancers nearly got arrested, and Joe nearly stole Charlie's wallet, so you got to put that in the book. You got to get that one from Charlie, though.
If it's on the air, I can get it from you guys. Then I'll give you credit for having it. I'll give you credit as the source.
Well, Charlie's the source, but Michael, thank you so much for spending some time with us tonight and remembering Bruno. And we'll get to our regular format next week. But lots of stuff going on. Certainly, we'll talk about Landon Donovan. We'll talk about the U.S. women. But for tonight, we'll call it a night. So thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. My pleasure to be on it.
Thank you, Mike.
That's Michael Lewis, live from New York, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. You want to thank Don Lalka, Charlie Shiano, Dick Howard, and Michael Lewis, and of course, you too, Joe. You always thank Joe. For memories, our memory, Peter Short, who was going to be inducted into the Lancers Wall of Fame on December 27th, 1 p.m. before the game against Baltimore. The Lancers will open their season 22nd at home against Ontario California Fury. 872-KICK for tickets. I want to thank all our sponsors, as always, for being a part of our show. And thank you, Bruno. I'm sure you're listening up in the sky. Thank you for being a part of this show. If it wasn't for you, probably we still wouldn't be on the air. So we appreciate it. Joe?
Please. Well, I just said it, and when we started the show, thank you very much, Bruno, and thank you for having been part of my life.
We'll be back next week on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.